Broadcasting from Chicago, it's Hold Up, Wait a Minute on Gozamos TV. Hosted by Reina and Roberto, it's a raw and unfiltered conversation about gender, sex, sexuality, and navigating a heteronormative world in the young century.
Hey, Internet, what's up?
Hey, Internet, we're back.
Yes, we are.
We're right on time.
Right on time, ready to rhyme, except this is all prose, so never mind.
Ooh, Roberto's got skills. Oh,
skills to pay the bills, actually.
Yeah. Maybe we could pay our bills if
you signed up for our free iTunes subscription on Hold Up, Wait a Minute.
How's that for shameless? Ain't no shame. Shameless
no
plug.
Shame.
Shit, we trying to get somewhere.
Edwards, do your thing.
But, you know, we're producing some good content. We're having fun with this podcast. We hope that you enjoy listening, and you can always catch us online. Hold Up, Wait a Minute on iTunes or holdupwaitaminute.com.
It's the most fun I've had, not horizontal.
Hey, we could, like, recline.
Let's do it. Let's not.
Yeah, I'd fall asleep. But, yeah, we're back, and we wanted to talk current events and stuff.
Yeah, you know what we wanted to talk about? Sports.
Go team.
Yeah, fucking sports.
Yeah, I mean, on the surface, it's like, okay, fuck sports, right? But
if you're signed up for this podcast, you're not really listening to us for some sort of sports commentary.
But what we'd like to talk about is gender in sports and sexuality in sports. And that, you know, those are certain topics that warrant discussion on our show. Because there's a lot going on right now. Sometimes we record these things, like, well in advance. And right now, the Bulls are getting their ass beat by the Heat.
Who gives a shit? It's the Blackhawks here.
But one of the things that really bothers me is, like, how everybody keeps being like, oh, Derrick Rose is a pussy. Like, people always want to talk about somebody being a pussy when they're weak. Like, how does that... I don't know what the fuck.
It's bloody fucking sexist and rude.
Right.
First of all, I hate that word.
Yeah.
Pussy.
Not to describe, like, a person being weak. I mean...
Maybe if I was describing a cat.
Right.
No, actually, I wouldn't describe a cat as being a pussy. I'd describe it as being a cat.
Right. Like the saying goes, like, pussies are pretty fucking built to last. You take a pounding.
Yeah, it's fucking Chevrolet.
Right? Popping out children out of this shit. It's fucking intense. It takes some serious fucking strength to be a pussy, but... Yeah, you know, there's always these, like, gendered insults that people want to hurl at men, you know, like, that's a threat to your masculinity, is somebody's a pussy or a faggot. You know, not too long ago, Joakim Noah got fined, I think it was last year, for calling somebody a faggot and then had to do some PSAs or something.
But he was calling a fan a faggot. Like, that's uncalled for.
Like, a faggot. And it's like, why, you know, why is that even an insult? And I don't... And I know that the people who listen to us know that, but... Other people need to fucking get with the program, man. Like, because those aren't insults.
Subscribe to iTunes. Free on iTunes. Or subscribe to Hold Up, Wait a Minute. It's free on iTunes. Last plug we'll do until the end of the episode. But I feel as though in a sports context like that, there is this whole sort of, like, culture being like, oh, well, the way that I have to motivate people is by calling them... sort of submissive, traditionally submissive epithets that shouldn't really be epithets at all, honestly.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd like to take back faggot, like bitch or nigga, but faggot's really ugly. Like, it's an ugly sounding word, and it's actually a Welsh dish.
Is it now?
It is a Welsh dish. Wikipedia the shit out of that, my friends.
You're right about this whole... using these names to motivate. Recently, Mike Rice was a coach, basketball coach at Rutgers, who was fired. There was a really scathing video that came out where he's like,
oh, yeah.
Like, hurling basketballs at motherfuckers and being like, faggot, like, play harder or something. And yeah, mind you, this is the same Rutgers where Tyler Clemente committed suicide after he had been filmed or camcorded.
He'd been outed digitally by his dorm mate.
Yeah. First of all, like, who the fuck would want to record you getting down with somebody, like, that's just gross.
Gay guy.
Yeah. Right? To talk about it. But yeah, you know, so they, and after this hit, there was a full blown aftermath of people trying to figure out, you know, how to change this. They had all kinds of PC shit going on.
It,
like,
has to have some sort of change in sports culture, yeah, where it's more accepting of.
Yeah. And so much for that. Like, it just doesn't. Yeah.
So much for, okay, so Jason Collins.
Yeah.
Came out.
Right.
That's a great thing.
So he's the center. He was the center for the Boston Celtics, and he's now a free agent. He was the first active NBA player to come out, although John Amici was the first NBA player to come out, although he came out in retirement.
And honestly, Jason Collins is kind of coming out in retirement because,
yeah,
he's like 35.
He's like near the end of his career.
Yeah. And I feel like since he's a free agent, you know, it's like, I don't know a lot about sports, but I do know when people are unemployed. And it seems as though, you know,
like it's a ploy or something.
Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, thankfully I'm going to get a book deal after this.
Yeah.
But Brittany Griner, she's in the WNBA, a sport that gets no love whatsoever. And my dad is the most adorable person ever. After the Chinese Olympics in 2008, he got really into women's basketball. So he watches women's basketball now. But he was like, oh, you know, there's a lesbian women's basketball. And I was like,
really?
Really? Like, they're not all out lesbians?
Yeah.
But that's just my connotative sentiment.
Yeah, and there have been other women who've played in the WNBA who've come out. Brittany Griner came out recently, and it was like a big deal because she
signed a deal with Nike.
Yeah, it's like one of the biggest deals for a WNBA player, and she came out in advance of the deal. But she's fucking cold as hell. Like, she's done some pretty crazy shit on the court. Like, you know, I watch sports, surprise surprise, but
all I watch is hockey.
I don't know. See, that's the one sport I do not like.
I love hockey.
It's too fast. It's like for people with like ADHD.
Hockey is like such an amazing sport because that is a fucking sport. These 200 to 300 pound fucking men on goddamn fucking ice skates fucking trailing along with a stick with these tiny little fucking macaroons on the goddamn fucking floor. That's fucking crazy.
It is
and
crazy.
And they're all toothless, hot ass Scandinavian dudes or Canadian guys. And I'm going to try to get more into Canadian dudes.
Is that your, like, a goal for the future?
I don't think I've ever met a Canadian person in Chicago. Or, I mean, at least I haven't had sex with one of them. But if you're listening,
Roberto@gozamos.com.
Yeah, Roberto@gozamos.com. Get at me. I want the D.
But no, one of the things that I like watching sports for is just like the improbable feats. It's just when you're watching something, you're like, what? Like, I can't even get off the fucking couch. Like,
but honestly, back to my point about how aren't all people in the WNBA lesbians, is it a thing where, like, obviously Jason Collins' announcement has made much more sort of impact than Brittany Griner's.
Yeah.
And is it because, since this is an inherently connotatively male industry, it's much more impactful that a man would come out as gay as to a woman would come out as lesbian, because the lesbian is supposedly the opposite of feminine, is
right,
masculine kind of situation? Or what is that about?
I've thought about that myself. I think in part it's not a big deal in the WNBA because other women have come out in the WNBA before, so there have been a lot of women who've come out.
There have been a lot of women who, I think that per capita, athletes in any sort of sport, I mean, a sport like basketball in the NFL or NBA is obviously a very franchised part of the culture, especially in Chicago, you know, it's the local culture. It's much more surprising that a man would be able to come out of the closet like that.
Yeah.
In any capacity. And it's almost a technical impact because he is a free agent and he's on his last legs of his career. And
yeah, it is surprising to people because they do expect, like, oh, this is a man's sport or something. You know, almost all the big professional sports are, you know, highly...
They're top sports.
Yeah. They're, like, associated with, you know, aggression and power. And
tops.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I think it's not as surprising when women come out in those kinds of top sports, because it's assumed. Yeah, so it's like,
but it's assumed that they should be tops.
Yeah, because it's assumed that strength is a masculine thing, you know,
and masculine quality.
Right, and we still are really far from acknowledging that women can be physically strong too. I mean, but nobody wants to see that on television, you know. Nobody cares about WNBA, even though if you watch some of these games, like Brittany Griner is really off the chain. Like, she can dunk.
Which I think is a lot of the problems that people have with women's sports, or yeah, with women's basketball, if they don't dunk, or there's not enough, like, showmanship.
Right, and then you get a woman who can dunk and who will fucking bring it, and then
the
you're like, oh, I don't want
to
watch
it. Attention to them is Nike.
Right. No, that's really interesting that you bring that up, because it's, yeah, it's exactly why people don't watch WNBA. Is like, they don't think it's as impactful of a sport. But then again, you get these people who can actually, you know, do some shit, and then it's threatening.
Exactly. It's like, oh, you're not cool with them performing at this level that they're supposed to, but when they surpass that, it's like, whoa, you know, you should.
You're a dude.
You're a dude. Yeah. And if you've seen Brittany Griner, she actually looks very feminine. She's
yeah,
not,
she does. I've seen some pictures of her.
As if that mattered, but
right. Yeah. But and there was a big to do when she I forget which award she won. But you know, her numbers are out of this world, and for like what she's accomplished as a college player, and she was awarded some, you know, award, like a recognition of her work. And there was just all this clamoring online and Twitter, especially people like, that's a dude, you know, she looks like a fucking dude, like all this shit. And it's like,
also with that South African.
Yeah, the runner.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that happens a lot. And I think part of what people need to realize is that there isn't just male and female. There's a whole continuum. And I think there are intersexed conditions where different people have different kinds of genetic expressions that may favor more masculine body types or more feminine body types. And that doesn't speak to somebody's gender. And
that just speaks to somebody's frame, somebody's genetic.
Yeah, just as a human being, those kinds of variations happen. And I think on one hand, you know, we should pay more attention to the sports world when these types of players come out, because it shows that there is an incredible diversity to the human body, and that's something that people just aren't used to thinking about.
And isn't that what the sports world, and why we pay attention to these people, isn't that what that's all about?
Yeah, you would think. I mean, at the same time, people are just dumb, I think, and like, they just want to watch a fucking sport and cheer on a team and drink some beer. I think a lot of people kind of don't, you know, they don't give it as much thought as it warrants. But that's why we're here, to talk about these issues.
Speaking of which, what happens when athletes themselves talk about these issues?
Yeah, recently, who's that guy on? Kluva?
Well, he's from the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I'm not sure how he pronounces it.
And I also know that he's fucking cool as shit.
He's really vocal in supporting marriage equality, even though he's a straight dude, you know, whatever. But again, he's a good ally, and he has voiced his support about other players.
Because he understood his like position
exactly
in the world, and he understood that he could make a difference.
Right.
And if you're listening, Chris, which you probably aren't, but we would just like to say thank you very much for being all you could have been. Minnesota Vikings fired him, and there was much to do about why exactly they fired him, because I'm not sure what, again, I don't know, football's not really my game, and I'm not sure if he was as good, but I don't think there would have been this much kerfuffle if he wasn't
right.
Decent. That they trade? Did they trade him, or did they just like fire him?
I think they didn't like renew his contract. I think
he's a free agent.
Yeah, he's out there. But part of what people were saying, the reason behind that was that he was just too vocal, and that regardless of what you're saying, the higher ups in these associations don't want to hear your opinion. So, in a lot of respects, these types of sports are really backwards, because there's a culture that prohibits people from being more vocal. So it's, you know, I don't want to stereotype people who, you know, are into sports or who are like really into, you
or
know, kind of
sports media, because sports yeah. media actually, I think, has done a lot to include homosexual fans.
Yeah. And sports women.
Sports Illustrated. I don't remember what sort of some sports bullshit happened where they published a picture of two guys kissing as a celebratory as a celebration for some sort of sport thing. And that was really, you know, the sports media, Sports Illustrated, just Yahoo Sports, just like different outlets. Keep a very open mind, and an inclusive mind.
Oh, yeah. I think
because they understand that a sports fan isn't just your frat boy, white, straight male.
Right. I think that's one of the good things is that it just makes good business sense to be more inclusive. So I do think sports media has acknowledged that. And, you know, there are forums for women or for homosexuals.
Yeah. And they really don't have to. They don't have to because they make enough money
right.
with just a straight male audience. But they want to because they understand that sports is inherent to our culture.
Right.
Especially a city like Chicago, that we are
just all about sports.
We're all about sports.
Yeah.
And even if, like, somebody like me who doesn't follow sports at all, I know how the Bulls or the Cubs or the White Sox or the Blackhawks, both Blackhawks because I follow that, but I know what all these other sports teams, how they're doing because it's ingrained in our culture.
Right.
We talk about the weather and we talk about sports or restaurants.
Yeah.
Sports, weather and restaurants.
That's true.
Those are our conversational topics. That's not small talk. That's real ass talk. You wouldn't talk to a stranger about the weather because you'll be there for fucking hours. You talk to your friends about the weather.
Right. That shit gets crazy sometimes. Like fucking right now, it's like 80 degrees. What the fuck is that?
It's fucking beautiful. I don't want to wear any clothes. I'm naked right now. I really wish I was naked, actually.
I don't know.
I'm not very athletic.
You can be naked. Maybe next time we'll record a naked, we'll have a naked session, kind of like gymnasiums were once. Oh, naked.
They were. Right. Yeah. In fact, on the Blue Line South at Damon,
mm-hmm.
those Turkish bathhouses.
Oh yeah.
Building. I mean, bathhouses. Yeah, but it was mostly like a gymnasium.
Right. Right. Naked. Yeah.
In like the 20s or the teens.
You know,
the 20th century.
You know, what's funny. If you look at like old basketball footage and you see like. Dude used to wear daisy ass Dukes. Like, it's like their sack was about to fall out. Those shorts were so short and shit was tight and short. And now you see it's like they have these long ass, they'll have like compression leggings on underneath their baggy ass shorts, t-shirts under their jerseys. The clothing is kind of funny just because it reflects like the cultural attitudes. And
I blame the 90s. I blame the mid 80s. That's when everything changed. That's when gangster rap. I blame gangster rap.
Yeah, because you could see like in those earlier days, like there was just a different attitude about the body and it was reflected in what they wore. Now it's like, oh, like don't show your body because that's, I don't know, this gay or something.
I don't know if it's, yeah, it's not that it's gay, but it incites gay opinions.
Right.
But honestly, gay opinions in that aspect mirror straight women's opinions.
Right.
So why wouldn't you want to sort of... if you've got it going on, just fucking show it, dude. Oh, you want these chicks to not be wearing fucking skin tight burkinis on the fucking streets? Why don't you wear your own fucking burkinis? It's sexy to chicks. Or hopefully Jason Collins has inspired a couple of people who are active in the NBA who are in the prime of their careers to come out. And for those people, I will say, I will have sex with you if you come out.
You heard it here first.
I'm
folks.
Really attractive. I will do you. We'll do it.
And again,
I'll be like a basketball player's wife, like footballer's wife.
It could be like a reality show.
Yeah.
And you could join roberto@gosamos.com. So
stop saying with emo so much. Only if you're Canadian. Only if you're Canadian. If you're
Canadian basketball player
in America.
Who's gay.
And
closeted right now. And contemplating coming out.
I just know I'm really pretty and I have a great body and I'm actually nothing like I am in this show. I'm much more annoying. But I will cook for you.
So that's something.
Yeah. But you have to clean. Because I can't be doing fucking everything. I'm a bottom, okay? I'll take the garbage out, but you have to fucking do shit.
Back to the whole naked thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a lot of sports seem like inherently gay, if you think about it.
Yeah.
They're so exclusive to men. They're like really homoerotic. It's like sometimes I don't know if I'm watching like a homoerotic, like a homo
American
fetish
football.
Porn. Or like Ultimate Fighting is really kind of weird. Have you ever seen?
I think that it was very homoerotic, but honestly.
It kind of is. They're sweaty and like. All over each other and
beating
like
beating each other up, and then it's not even that they're beating each other up, it's like they hold on to each other for like
dear life.
You know, yeah. It's like a good 2 minutes. I'm like, dudes, get a room. Right? It makes me uncomfortable. I'm like, listen, I've been to Touche before, but that shit was in the dark. You're in front of everybody in a fucking Coliseum ass fucking arena.
In a cage and shit. Yeah.
Get that shit together, man.
Yeah, it just seems really queer. But at the same time, like, they're beating the shit out of each other. So maybe it's.
Whereas I do it emotionally.
Yeah, it just seems like most sports are kind of not as inclusive as they can be. And
as they should be.
Yeah. And at least the ones that get attention, you know, because there are lots of people who play all kinds of different sports at different levels. And, you know, they just don't get the recognition that some of these bigger sports get, like the big four, baseball, basketball.
Sports.
Yeah. So I think it is important when there are kinds of things like this that happen, you know, talk about like what that means or what that means for how we perceive of, gender or strength and, you know, different kinds of qualities that are typically associated with men. Because, you know, unless you question those things, you're just going to be force fed and swallowing what people
because it really
want you to believe.
Doesn't matter what we think, because we already have these.
Oh,
thoughts.
Yeah.
It's you have to like persuade these people, these populist people who engage in these populist activities to be more inclusive. And the way that you do that is by forcefully doing what the sports media does, is put these issues to the forefront in a very elegant way, in a very positive and always respectful way.
Yeah,
and because you can't argue now that there's children, blah blah, they can't know about that. Of course they have to know about it,
right?
Because for a long time I think that we think of homosexuals as adults, we don't think of them as children, and there are homosexual children because you and I were homosexual children,
right?
And you were homosexual a homosexual child. Or you knew a homosexual child. You might not have known what homosexuality was, but you knew that something was different about them.
Right.
And you can't say that this isn't family talk anymore, that this isn't appropriate for family discussion, because
we're in your families.
Yeah, we're in your families, we're at your work, and we're becoming our own families.
Right. So one of the best things that came out of the Jason Collins thing was the whole conversation that happened afterwards. And I think a lot of that was overshadowed by Chris Broussard's comments on ESPN. But what's unfortunate is that he was engaged in a conversation at the time with LZ Granderson, who is a gay sports writer. And he's been acknowledged for his work covering different types of issues as they relate to the LGBT community and sports. And, you know, he said something like really important that I think got lost in the mix. But he said, you know, the best thing about Collins coming out is that now there are kids out there somewhere who have been realizing like they're gay and they're good at basketball. And now there's hope for them because they don't have to hide that. And they see a role model. Somebody can be gay and play basketball. So it's kind of expanding these roles and possibilities for young people.
And let's just be real, it's expanding the economic base in which the sports industry can sell to these future fans who are probably very good, but probably have the sort of connotation that they can't participate in these activities because there's no place for them in that.
Right.
Or that they should always have these. Because, I mean, gay culture, when it comes to sort of what is given to us, what do we have, like Logo and E and Kathy Griffin? No. I mean, I guess I will take you if I'm like super stoned, but
it would be good to have some options.
It would be good to have some options. And, you know, that's why I like hockey a lot, because the Blackhawks, when they won that the Stanley Cup in, I think it was like 2010 or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm sorry, the internet. Fucking sue me. I don't give a shit. But dude brought the Stanley Cup to the Pride Parade. And it was the first time the Stanley Cup was at the Pride Parade. I was like, you know what? I agree. Hockey is the shit.
And we will be talking about Pride celebrations.
I prefer market days. I'm sorry.
On an upcoming episode, so stay tuned. But with that, we're going to sign off.
Continue your masturbating. And I think this has been a slam dunk. Don't you, Reyna? Touchdown. Goal.
Vocal fry. All right, internet, we love you.
Fuck you.
He really loves you. He does.